You're listening to The Morning Show with Michelle here on 90.7 WGXC ACRA. Here in the station this morning with Patricia Dalton Fennell and Chris Payson. Chris has been in here with me before. Welcome back and welcome. And
good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And so amazing, amazing jazz artists, musicians, and if you've never listened to them before, you need to do that. And so, and you're going to be playing this weekend, mm-hmm. right?
I've been playing and promoting and curating the jazz series on Sundays across the river at the New York restaurant in Catskill, Sunday afternoons from 1 to 4. I'll be there this Sunday with a great pianist, Francesca Tanksley. And Patricia will be singing.
Okay. And so you said the great pianist, Francesca
Tanksley.
Tanksley. Is she from the area? Because I know that both of you kind of live in the area. Is she in the area or is she coming in from somewhere else?
She is. I think she might live in Rosendale.
Okay. So there's an amazing mix of like artists and musicians that are in the area, which is one of the things I really love about you all is that you're local, which or relatively, right?
Yeah, it's the yeah. Hudson Valley.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I think there's so much that is going on here that people aren't aware of, and you've been doing this jazz
How many
brunch
months now?
For a while now, right?
Since Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
So it's over 7 months.
Right. So at New York restaurant from 1 to 4.
1 to 4, going strong.
Yeah. And how did you get into jazz? How did both of you, like, how did you get into jazz? How did you?
Why don't you go first?
I kind of stumbled into it. I took up the trumpet and I was exposed to swing music fairly early on, and I like that, which immediately kind of set me apart to the other kids that were listening to rock and roll in the 60s and early 70s. And then I got around some people that were actually playing jazz and went to jam sessions. And then when I went to school at New England Conservatory, I got around serious jazz musicians who schooled me and, you know, let me know what I needed to work on. And, you know, pretty much haven't looked back since then.
Okay, schooled you in a good way, right?
Well,
because depending on where you're from, you know, to get schooled doesn't always have like positive connotations.
Well, you know, getting schooled, you sometimes don't hear what you want to hear.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's true. Okay, so who are some of the jazz musicians you've worked with, or do you not want to say?
Work with a lot of people. Here, actually, there are some wonderful jazz musicians that I've had the opportunity to work with since I've lived here the past 3.5 years. Appearing on the upcoming Christmas CD that we recorded recently is Hudson's own Armin Danelian, world-renowned pianist and educator. And perhaps we'll even play a sneak preview from that CD that features him. Another great pianist that lives in Stuyvesant, John Esposito, plays a lot with Patricia.
My right-hand man.
Okay.
And they're phenomenal musicians in the area. Been doing kind of a rock R&B thing with bassist Scott Petito, who's across the river and owns NRS Recording Studios, where actually this CD was recorded. And
where we're producing it, yeah.
Oh,
the Christmas
okay.
CD.
Nice.
Scotty Petito.
So, Patricia,
yeah.
How did you find your way into jazz?
Yeah, circuitous route. Well, first thing that comes to mind is I can remember being a very little girl and seeing my grandfather, Thomas Moriarty's sheet music, his published sheet music. He was a stride piano player. And I didn't know much about him, and I can't say that I know a whole lot more now, but my mother made sure that I took all manner of piano lessons, but the orientation was classical. And initially in my undergraduate, I was a classical vocal person, but I encountered jazz, and actually at that time the first person I encountered was John Esposito, and that was part of my introduction to Coltrane and the rest. So, but years went by and life went on and other things happened and it came back around, and for about, I'm going to say about 8-9 years now, the guy said, well, you know, why don't you come back out? And so I did, but came back to jazz.
Okay. Wow, that's fascinating. And so what would you, for people who are new to jazz, aren't really sure, you know, whether or not they like jazz. I had someone recently say to me, they were like, I just hate jazz music. And I was like, oh, geez.
That's,
I was
sad.
Like, that's harsh.
That's
and
sad.
I think because I see jazz as a great American art form.
It is. It is our classical music, some folks say. It is our original art form. And, you know, I was thinking about this, given some of the things that we've been talking about, like the Jazz Vespers, that we send jazz masters all over the world as goodwill ambassadors. And jazz can be our goodwill music venture right here at home. But for folks, to go back to your thought about when folks say I don't like jazz, sometimes it helps if we introduce them to songbook jazz and to vocal jazz.
Right.
And that makes it easier for people if they sometimes start with the voice because it's so relatable.
Okay, I'd never really thought about it like that because my earliest introduction to jazz was instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sometimes have said, you know, that jazz song was really nice until that person started to sing.
Well, you wouldn't be the first person to say that, but yes.
So, present company excluded.
Depending upon who's singing, musicians say that frequently.
Yeah, that's
present
true.
Present company excluded. I think that's interesting, but something for me to keep in mind. So for the listeners who don't know, we did Jazz Vespers mm-hmm. at church a few Sundays back, and Chris and Patricia, and we're part of that. And I know for the folks who were there, we're really, really blessed by, you know, just like being able to be in the space, because so often, you know, church is like somebody preaching to you,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. can get both boring and old fast, mm-hmm. Or preaching at you. And so I know for me, it was nice to kind of be able to be in the space, and that wasn't the expectation, but to let mm-hmm. the music speak. And there's so many things I feel like that jazz says.
Mm-hmm.
And one of it is, I'm not sure that we as Americans have a lot of art forms that we can claim.
As ours,
you know, but this is one of them. You know, so much of it is like borrowed from other people and other cultures. And, you know, because we are such a melting pot of, you know, this country, it really is a melting pot. You know, you got people mm-hmm. from all over the place, which is something we can be proud of, but also something that has made our culture different. And you know,
and jazz being one of the only art forms. I mean, I guess what also comes to mind is tap dance, but certainly jazz is that form that has brought together the white community, the black community. It came, so much of it is from, obviously, the African-American culture, how it evolved from the blues, all the rest of that, how that blended with the folks who were in Appalachia, the Scotch-Irish. I mean, you know, it's I'm being reductionistic here, making it way too simple, but it truly is a blend of cultures and a blend of American immigrant and, of course, not immigrant slave culture.
Right. Yeah, and so I think that's something that sometimes we don't talk about.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, race has kind of become that thing that, you know, we don't talk about it unless like something terrible has happened, and then we want to talk about it in a very polarized way.
Right.
But I think if we had more conversations, and this is kind of my random aside, if we had more conversations of this nature, right, before we got to those instances that like have kind of polarized us, you know, like as as a nation, you know, like right now the Freddie Gray, there was another acquittal in the Freddie Gray trial, I think just yesterday, you know, and when you look at like the polarization that happens of people, like if we looked at those, I personally think if we looked at those things that we share, right? Those things that we share, not just as humanity, but, you know, within our culture,
right?
That could do a lot to really bring us together.
It provides a forum.
Exactly.
It provides a nexus, a focal point.
Yep.
Well, and I think you find in general that jazz musicians are very empathic politically. I mean, sometimes not towards each other, you know, if somebody's not playing and not cutting the gig, but politically, generally, you find jazz musicians to be, more socially inclusive,
right. Inclusive folks.
Yeah, I've noticed that just with the jazz musicians that I've had the opportunity to meet over the years, that it's more about what do you bring, like what you bring to the table and how you contribute to the larger like work, than it is about some of the other things.
About your background.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a colleague, Pete O'Brien, and he's a monster player.
Great drummer.
Yeah, part of what he talks about is anybody can come from any background, they can have formal schooling, they can have no schooling, but can you play?
Well...
Can you play?
Yeah.
Is the question.
Yeah. That is what it comes down to.
Can you play?
Can you bring it?
Doesn't matter how you got here, but can you play is the point.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you've been working on a Christmas album.
Yes, we have.
So I love, it's June, but I love Christmas in July. I lived in a place that celebrated Christmas in July.
Stop
and so,
it.
No, right. I did.
Come on.
I'm from the Outer Banks in North Carolina.
Right.
And down on Hatteras Island. They would have, at least when I was living there, they were like Christmas in July celebrations. So, yes, we had Christmas in July.
Really?
Yeah, I've actually lived in a place that's done that. And there wasn't, I may or may not put up a tree anyway, so.
Right.
But yeah, people would decorate and there would be like community get togethers and Christmas in July. So,
ooh, we might have to have a Christmas in
July.
Absolutely.
You should. I'll have to find a Christmas tree.
Yeah, you should.
I can figure that. We can figure that.
You should totally do Christmas in July. Start promoting the album now. No, I'm serious. Maybe come to New Rochelle and we could do Christmas in July.
So
sounds like a plan.
We just started talking about this. So talent. I'm producing.
Well, also talent.
Well, yes, but hopefully. Well, we'll see. But but part of it is, I've been saying to folks, I'm walking around, I'm humming Christmas tunes.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd,
right?
But you know, this is, you have to be thinking about it, and you've got to do your recording. You got to think about how you're going to let people know, and trying to figure out how to plan what will be the right time to let people know what's going on. But Christmas in July.
Mm-hmm. Start working on it. Because so I used to be that person that by the end of the summer, I had all my Christmas presents bought. Because I hate like the mad rush in like November, December.
Right.
So usually by August, September, all my Christmas shopping was done for that year. And then all I had to do was wrap. I'd go out and, you know, could take my time getting paper and wrap, because I like to wrap.
Uh-huh.
So, I do. So, I'm that person.
This is good to know.
I love to wrap. It's like, it's therapeutic. I'm not sure why. And it's, you know, other people's stuff, my own stuff.
I'll bring in my own gifts and you can wrap my gifts.
No, I would love to. Yeah, I really do like to wrap. So, Christmas in July, I think, is a great idea. And with that, we've got a sneak preview. Can we play the listeners a sneak preview?
Do you know
preview?
Which one this is?
Play the second cut on the CD.
It's not mixed. This is a preview.
So this is raw.
This is raw.
There's nothing. I think
it's seriously early in the game.
Well, I think that's great, and
so
I'm
going
to try to get this going. I'm not sure why it's not at this point, but
well, I'm just thinking about she's
I just
doing
played
that
it
Christmas
in the car.
In
I know
July.
It plays. So
okay.
So we're going to have to like check out what they're doing in the Outer Banks at Hatteras.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Too cool.
Yeah, it was, and I mean, I was like, oh, wow, this is
kind of... I mean, in some of my work and my hospice work back in the day, we would do Christmas all the time, just whenever people needed a Christmas.
Because sometimes you need a Christmas.
Sometimes you need a Christmas, and sometimes, Christmas needs to be now.
Right.
So we would hook that up.
No, that's a really great thing, and I think, often we associate, Christmas with gift giving, right? But this year, after Easter, I got home one day, and I received a package, and someone had just been thinking about me, and so I doodle, and I color, and so, like, in my free time, or in meetings, it's pretty, people can usually tell you that in a meeting I'm usually drawing or something. And someone had sent me a packet of like cards that you color to share to like give people to like raise their spirits. But they were like, hey, I know you just got finished with like a really busy time of year, because like Easter is like my busiest time of the year. And just wanted to let you know that I was thinking about you and I hope these brighten your day.
Wow.
And then you brighten someone else's. And I was like, wow. I was like,
That's somebody.
That's somebody to keep in short rotation.
Yeah. I was like, this was so nice and really thoughtful and like really unexpected. So, yeah, I think Christmas in July is a really great thing. And I do have this now. So this is number 2. What's it titled? Or is it still yet to be?
I'll let you guess.
Oh, okay.
Do oh, well, I guess we're going to find out.
We are going to find out.
Uh-oh.
All right. Here it is. And so this is, is this then Patricia Dalton and the Jazz
Patricia's
colleagues?
Not on this particular.
Okay. Yeah, no. All right. So this is the guy.
I'm playing with Armin Danellian.
This is Armin. Okay. Jeff Siege Siegel.
And a great bass player that is from Rhinebeck.
Ira
Coleman that tours with Sting.
Great. All right, well, we're going to get this going. And that was the Christmas song. We're in here debating. We're talking, I don't know, can we call it politics? Not really. We're not talking about candidates. We're talking about the recent Supreme Court decisions.
Yeah. And how it affects issues of race and affirmative action. And part of how I shorthand it sometimes for folks is what it means to work and be in school if you're if you happen to be Black or blonde.
Right. Well, you know, and the thing is, and what we know is that there's a ton of research out there that when you talk about kind of like starting economics in life,
mm-hmm. absolutely,
that we just don't start at the same place.
No.
And a lot of it is linked to what's gone on in this country historically.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when you're not starting, and so what you find, especially in communities of color, because you're not starting at the same place economically,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, for someone who maybe has just graduated from college, they might be a first generation college student.
Right.
But now they're working to not only like take care of their own bills, but
right.
to take care of family as well.
Right.
Whereas when you look at kind of the majority population, right,
mm-hmm.
who is coming from a different economic base of wealth,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're maybe starting first jobs, but they might also have a trust fund, and not everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there may be some resources that families are able to provide, right?
There's no question about it.
Exactly, just to kind of get them situated.
There's no question about that.
And probably, like, my personal best example is, you know, when I finished graduate school, there was a person who should have finished a year ahead of me, mm-hmm. but she was still in school and kind of dragging it out. And so finally she graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, and I was like, oh, so what are you going to be doing now? She was like, I don't know. You know, my parents want me to move home because they're tired of paying for my apartment. She was like, but I think I've been able to talk them into like paying for my apartment for 6 more months.
There you go.
So that I can find just the right job. And I was just like, wow. You know, I mean,
and you know, and on the one hand, if so.
Yeah,
I hear you. And if someone has right. those resources, well,
exactly,
God bless
like
you.
Right, but, right, no shame there.
But,
yeah,
no shame there. But most of us don't.
Right. I was like, wow. And I mean, right. I did also go to Yale too. Right. Which I mean, the
but you can see that in any.
Yeah, you can. You can see it anywhere. And I mean, and you know, and this from the person who I worked while I was in school.
Mm-hmm,
right. I worked while I was in school. Sometimes 2 jobs.
Absolutely.
You know, and so when I finished school, I was working. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh wow, 6 more months, like,
and
okay.
It creates an interesting situation for folks where when my grandmother came to this country 100 years ago,
right.
101 years ago in just a few days would be the anniversary of when she got here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was an immigrant and she cleaned people's houses. That's what
right.
she did. And then she worked very hard to be in a position where her daughter could go to college
right.
in that first generation, which is highly unusual. But that set me up.
Right, exactly.
But had I been fifth generation and my family had been here, that it makes a huge difference
yeah.
in terms of access. Who's already here? Who?
Right.
What kind of... anyway.
Yeah. Which we've been playing and listening to jazz and talking
okay.
about Christmas. Oh, Christmas in July.
Christmas in July.
Yes. Yeah, but even when you look at, you know, kind of like the socioeconomics around Christmas, right?
Absolutely.
I can't tell you the number of phone calls I got last year that were people who were looking for like gifts for,
yes.
you know, for their kids.
Yes.
And at the time it wasn't something that we did, but I can say that we're actually set up now for this year. With gifts,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, if people come by, you know, and they're like, oh, we need Christmas gifts.
Right.
So if you know anybody who needs them, that we actually have a kind of a stockpile
that's cool.
At the United Methodist Church, for not just for Christmas. If you know somebody that's, you know, a family that needs a pick-me-up, maybe they lose everything on a fire or
right.
something, there's a stockpile now
right.
at the church
right.
that, you know, are available for people who just need, you know, who need a gift. Because
one
sometimes
things,
you do.
Right. One
right?
of the things that whether it's with the good Presbyterians up in Albany or in my past hospice work, we would start collecting coats for kids.
Right.
And different things so that they had a different kind of clothing, mm. gifts. Toys,
right?
But whatever folks can do, and
yeah.
of course, the gift of jazz.
Yes, the gift of jazz, which
How's
Christmas in July. Oh gosh, Christmas in July. So I really do hope you all do something around Christmas in July, because what I just heard, what we just played, I loved. I thought it was fantastic. So. Christmas in July, please, please, please
oh,
make
gonna
that happen.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. We might have to send some of these down to folks,
mm-hmm.
folks down in the Outer Banks.
Yeah, I'm serious. We
Why
did.
Not? Why
yeah.
not?
So we did. I lived on Hatteras Island for the first few years after I graduated from college because I was a park ranger down there.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
I kind of oversaw for a period of time the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse area.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the education
yeah.
stuff that went on
Bet
there.
Bet you saw some hurricanes.
Well, so that's people always say that. That area hasn't received a direct hit from a hurricane in a really long time. Like, most of the damage is from, like, not a direct hit. But, yeah, saw some of that stuff. And they still show a film that I made there.
Yeah.
While I was in film school. So if you want to see like me in my early 20s, you can go watch the video. Yeah, that they show at the museum there. It's kind of funny that they still show that. I ran into some people that we CrossFit with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're like, wait, we just saw you. It was Guns. I think it was Guns.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they were like, we just saw you on this video at the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. We were like, wait, we know her. I guess it was like last summer.
Oh, that's great.
Or something while they were there. So fun time. So yes, we should send some down to the Hatteras folks for their Christmas in July. And what's the thing? What have you enjoyed most about making this CD?
Well, this has been a really interesting experience for me as taking on the producer role. I've done producing, if you will, and other things that I do, whether it's in the sciences or helping scholars do different things, and other artists. But this was the first time for me for a music project. So part of what I like the best is being on the other side of the glass. and just really the discussions about the different rhythm sections, blending different artists, different musicians in terms of how they're approaching the music, talking about arrangements, what makes sense, what's the tone that we want, what are we looking for in that regard. So it's sort of bigger picture for me. What do you think? What about you, Chris?
Well, and also with the huge number of Christmas and holiday songs,
right.
You know, choosing which ones were the most appropriate and also the ones that were the most fun to play. I mean,
right.
You know, there's really no point in doing it.
If it's not going to be fun?
If it's not going to be fun, you know. So I think we managed to do that. I mean, we're still actually talking about even adding another song. I don't know if there's even time to do that to still get the the album out this year in time for Christmas. But we did do something that was really kind of a hoot, Patricia and
I. Oh, you're
gonna
play that? Oh my goodness!
It happens to be the next one I have queued
so
up. It's also very rough.
Okay.
But I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
I hope so.
And
well, then we should. Everybody in the studio thought it was the director of the studio thought it was so funny because, you know, obviously what I'm a smaller blonde woman,
mm-hmm.
and Chris is a large, very well, one of his jazz nicknames is KGB because he has a certain very masculine large look.
Okay.
So this was so funny to Scotty, the head of the studio,
so
that
then
he had to get up and
this,
leave
right?
the sound room. He was laughing so hard.
Oh, so we should
so
definitely play this.
It may be too inside, or maybe people like, I don't know, we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, so I should play this now then.
Sure.
But the guys were entertained, I'll tell you that.
Okay, well,
right.
I think then we'll probably
hopefully
all be entertained.
Next,
and
I don't know that I'll be entertained.
You won't. I think you will be.
Right.
So this is number three?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, you don't have to go, Chris.
Really have to go.
No, you don't. Just listen. Just sit here with me for a second. Just, you know, I'll pour you another drink. You like that dry martini. Come on.
Baby, I really can't stay.
But, Daddy, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Come on, Daddy. It's cold outside.
The evening has been.
So hoping
so very nice.
That you drop in. Listen, I'll hold your hand. It's my God, it's just like ice.
But my mother will start to worry.
Come on, handsome. What's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to my fireplace. It just roars.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Come on, handsome. What's your hurry?
Well, maybe just
good.
Half a drink.
Good. I'll put on some music and you can pour.
The neighbors might think.
Come on, Daddy. It's
hey,
it's bad out there.
What's in this drink?
Just a little martini, and there's no cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how to break
now,
this spell.
Look at your eyes. They're like starlight now. Take your hat. Your hair, it's swell.
I ought to say no, girl.
Come on, you mind if I move in just a little bit closer? Here, come
well,
on.
Well, at least
right.
I can say that I tried.
There's no sense in hurting my girlish pride.
I really can't stay.
Come on, Daddy. Don't hold out. It's cold outside.
My sister will be suspicious.
But your lips, they look delicious.
And my brother will be there at the door.
I'm not concerned about your brother, dear.
And my maiden aunt's mind is delicious.
Ooh, your lips, they are delicious. Goodness.
Well, maybe just a cigarette.
Never such a blizzard out there before. Just, you know, I'll set the alarm.
I've got to get home.
Come on, Daddy, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
You won't fit in my coat, and besides, it's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when I touch your hand.
But don't you see?
But you do this thing to me.
Bound to be talked to.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there'll be plenty in plot.
If you went home, caught pneumonia, died. Come on.
I really can't stay.
Get over that holdout now, Daddy. Because, come on. Baby, it's cold. It's so cold. Out. Look out there. It's awful. Outside. Come on. Sit here next to me. We'll exaggerate. I'm chilled.
So
we have to leave that in, actually.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
I thought that was awesome. We're back on the air, and Patricia, I mean, you don't like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
It was your idea.
I think that maybe...
Well, the role reversal is good. I mean, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's
no, that was funny. That was great. That was really... That was hilarious.
Dear.
It was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So probably if you'd have told me that it was Baby, It's Cold Outside, I would have like mentally been prepared for that, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I think there is also like a certain amount of specialness to knowing you both and hearing that. But no, I thought that was wonderful. That was great. So where can we, so we can hear you guys, we can hear the two of you. I want to remind the listeners, we can hear the two of you this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At New York Restaurant.
Yes, from 1 to 4.
From 1 to 4.
353 Main Street in Catskill.
Mm-hmm. On Sunday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so if you haven't stopped in for one of those jazz brunches, I think you should. I think that you will have a wonderful time. I was there this past Sunday.
How's the food?
The food's good.
Yeah, the food's good.
Reasonable.
Yeah. Reasonable. I had a salad, which was really tasty. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of hard to mess up salad, though. I guess it's possible.
I don't know. Everything they make's great.
Yeah. No, but I mean, but no. So far, all the food I've had there has been fine. So, it's, you know, as good a meal as you can get, you know, just about anywhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good.
And it's going to be really hot on Sunday.
Ooh,
it is.
Yeah,
it's going to be in
nice
the 90s. So
that's not...
It's a good
I
place to
summer.
Get out of the heat.
Yeah.
90s is not set outside weather for me, especially with the humidity.
See, summer is my favorite season.
Even with the humidity. Well, you're from the Outer Banks.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you're
but I'm from the Outer Banks. So it feels like I'm at home whenever it's, you know, whenever it's like, oh, wow. I joke all the time. I'm like, it's not summer until it hits at least 90 degrees.
Whoa.
And then we can call it summer. Yeah.
So, 75 is good for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. 75, I might still need a sweater. You know?
You know, like yesterday?
So, no, I'm the opposite. So, no, it's like, it's if it's 20 degrees, maybe I'll wear socks.
20?
If it's 20 degrees out, it's cold. See, I'm the other way. I'm, I'm a winter baby.
See,
I'm a winter
baby. No.
Ice princess.
Oh.
See, yes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's right, young man. That's right. Don't get, no.
I got to
restore my reputation here. Yes.
I don't know. We did just listen to Baby, It's Cold
That's
Outside.
See, it's the winter. It's my time.
Yes. Well, I want to say just thank you to you both for taking the time to come in to the station here with me today. It's my last show, so I can't think of a better way to celebrate it than with the two of you.
Well, hopefully we'll follow you down there and do more.
I hope so. I hope so, because I mean, the people down there, they're really excited. They're, you know, I think I told you, they asked me like, well, what kind of music do you like? And I was like, oh. Like, I just like music. I like good music, right? You know, mm-hmm. if it's not good music, it's like, why are we listening to this? Or, you know, every now and then somebody will start to sing. I've been that person who started to sing. When I was in college, my sorority was doing something and they were like, and they wanted someone to sing, and they were like, oh, well, you sing in the choir, Michelle, you sing. And so someone had already even picked the song, and it was Mariah Carey's Hero. Like, why is anybody trying to sing Mariah Carey's Hero, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was I think it was probably the worst rendition of that song ever. It was bad.
It's not easy.
It was just that bad. Like, no one ever asked me to sing again after that. So I've been that person. So I feel like I can say, like, if someone sounds terrible, I can be like, wow. How did this happen, right? And, you know, wonder, like, did they volunteer, right? Or did someone volunteer them, which is kind of what happened with me. Someone volunteered me, and at that point in life, I didn't know how to say no. I'm very good at saying no now, especially, like, in, you know, like, knowing boundaries and limitations. But you don't have that problem.
No.
Because Patricia's got a wonderful voice, and Chris is an amazing trumpet player, and I've really been blessed every time I've heard you all play or sing. I just have truly been blessed by it, and thank you for taking the time out to come into the station and be with me this morning. So
this is your bon voyage.